Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter 6. Aren't you glad we have a Bible to look at this morning?
Amen.
And the Bible says we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. We have a more sure word of prophecy, even that more sure than just what people have seen and testified of. We have the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And my adult Sunday school class have been talking about how the Bible came to us from a series of lessons that I gave on Wednesday night several years ago, many years ago, and just kind of condensed form in our adult Sunday school class, and explains why we use the Bible we use, and we haven't gotten completely to that point yet. But if there's any question in your mind, you ought to come here for the adult Sunday school class and listen to those things, because you'll not hear them in the most part, but it's the basis, the formation, the historical perspective, which has shaped my opinion and my determination as to what Bible should be used in our day. And there's lots of confusion over that, but we use the King James. I believe it's the best for us today, based on that from which it was translated. And the people wrangle, well, you know, we like to get away from a Bible that uses the these and thous. Well, in doing so, you're getting away from being exact with pronoun tenses. And that's an issue that's kind of interesting. But nonetheless, I'd encourage you to come to my adult Bible study Sunday morning to get some thoughts concerning that. I think would be helpful for you. Daniel chapter number 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 again. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Let me just interject something. People do judge you by the spirit that you carry. And sometimes people would want to be elevated in certain circumstances, but their demeanor, their deportment, their attitude hinders them from that. Years ago, I had a youth director that said, how is your spiritual altitude? And, and so here he was promoted because an excellent spirit was in him. He loved God and did what was right. We'll see a little bit more about that. But this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. This morning I want to speak to you on no fault faithfulness. No fault faithfulness. We started off in the beginning of the year from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 that says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in stewards. People unto whom responsibility has been discharged, it's required in stewards that a man, a steward, be found faithful. We're considering faithfulness with an emphasis for us of being found faithful. When we're looked upon by the one or the ones who have given us responsibility, we should want them to find us faithful with what we've been entrusted. And in actuality, than faithful to them as well. Today's message takes us to a man whose character seems unsurpassed in all of Scripture. As a young man, he was carried into captivity, into a strange land with ungodly customs. He was made a eunuch with other young Jewish men and set in training to serve in the first of the four great empires in prophecy, the Babylonian Empire. This young Jewish man rose above all the rest in his realm by the quality of his spiritual character. He influenced his peers. He influenced his companions. He influenced his superiors. And he influenced his ruling kings. The record of his activity covers a duration of time spanning several kings and the control of two different empires in history. The man I'm talking about is, of course, as we've read, Daniel. And this morning I want to talk about Daniel in light of being found faithful, expressly, no fault faithfulness. No fault faithfulness. Let's pause for just a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the record of Scripture. And I pray this morning that we, gleaning from those things written in the past, would find things helpful for us today that we might in turn be found faithful for your honor and glory. And Lord, for our effectiveness here today, minister to our hearts again. If there's anybody here that does not know 100% sure that he or she is heaven bound, may they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Daniel. I don't believe you can find anything negative about Daniel in the Scripture. I heard a well-known preacher many years ago preach a message from the book of Daniel. And he implied by a faulty, I think, inference that Daniel probably bowed because only Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did not. What a horrible inference and what a terrible implication concerning Daniel when the Bible gives nothing negative about Daniel's character. Where he was when that happened, the Bible doesn't say, but I can guarantee, based on what we see about Daniel in the Scripture, he didn't bend bow, and he certainly wouldn't have burned either. Amen? By the way, we have to be careful not to put into Scripture what isn't there. We should draw out of Scripture what is there. And there's a lot there for us to draw from. Most of us here probably don't know the whole Bible by heart, right? And certainly, every time I look at even a known passage, I see things that seem new to me or in a different light. I love that course I learned as a kid, get the Bible reading habit and then daily keep right at it till you read your Bible through, clear through. Get the Bible reading habit and you'll want to keep right at it till the Lord Jesus comes for you. You can read your Bible through just a chapter or two. Each time you'll learn something new, get the Bible reading habit, and then daily keep right at it till the Lord Jesus calls for you. We're going to learn something new every time we're in the Scripture, even from things that we think we know quite well. This morning I want to talk about Daniel in light of his faithfulness. We've been talking about it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required from your life and from my life that God finds us faithful with responsibilities we've been given in our lives. Many of us share the same responsibilities. All of us have unique responsibilities, but each of us will be found faithful or unfaithful with that which has been committed unto us. Notice, if you would, please, in verse number 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was, what's the next word, folks? Faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. The presidents and princes tried to find some fault with Daniel pertaining to the kingdom, but they could find none for as much as he was faithful. The word occasion there, to find occasion, is the idea of meaning some type of matter, an affair of some sort, something that he had done that was faulty, and some minor occasion that showed him to be unfaithful, untrustworthy in relation to their kingdom. Now, some of these people were probably Babylonian and despised the fact that this Jewish captive had become elevated not only among them, but above them. People do a lot of things out of envy. They're envious over something that someone else does. Listen, we're to be content with such things as we have. Amen? Be content with where God's using us and how God's using us. If God wants to elevate that, you have an excellent spirit, and you'll find that God will place you where he wants you to be. God looks for available people. God looks for faithful people to elevate. Well, Daniel was that man. And so many people were envious of him because of his elevation. We read this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole shebang. That's in the Hebrew, all right? The whole round. They tried to find some matter. He cut some corner somewhere. Surely he violated some principle of our kingdom somewhere. Surely he was faulty with his record somewhere. They sought to find an occasion. And notice an occasion in verse number 4, they could find none occasion. Not one, none. Nor fault. The word fault is the idea of corruption. By the way, I don't think Daniel would be your normal run-of-the-mill politician in our day, do you? They'll find something. And let's just think about this for a minute. People can find something about you or me where we've come short, could they not? But they searched high and low, and they could find none, not one, none occasion, nor fault pertaining the kingdom. He was faithful because of what was found. If you notice in verse number 4, they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. He was faithful because of what was found, which was nothing, and because of what was not found. They couldn't find anything that was bad. They couldn't put anything upon him. He was faithful. I remind you of the verse. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In contemplating the thought for today and concerning Daniel, I thought of three different realms for Daniel that we've talked about. Many other realms of faithfulness. We've looked at people. We've looked at Moses. He was faithful in all his house. We talked about Jesus, faithful to love. And we talked about that last week in connection with the Valentine theme, but more importantly, the love of God and how Jesus Christ was faithful to love. And we've talked about faithful in different realms. But I thought of three specific realms in which Daniel was faithful that are very pertinent for us today. First of all, Daniel was faithful to his upbringing. Daniel was faithful to his upbringing. He was a young Jewish male of royal ancestry that was taken away out of Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar overran Jerusalem. He was taken away to Babylon to be made a eunuch, to become loyal, subservient, and a leader among the Jews under the authority and realm of the Babylonian Empire. And when Daniel got there as a young man, I'm not sure how old he was, but when he got there as a young man, immediately you see that Daniel would be faithful to his upbringing. I want you to notice in your Bible there, I hope they're open to Daniel. Flip back in your Bible, please, to Daniel chapter 1 momentarily, and verse number 8. Taken captive, the Bible says, Daniel 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. That'd be a great verse for young people today, amen. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He was faithful to his upbringing. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with that which he was taught from the scriptures was unclean. He grew up learning and hearing the scriptures. What a testimony it is when young people are true to what they've been taught from the scripture. Amen? I rejoice. I rejoice when a wayward, straying person gets right with God. Amen? I rejoice with that. You know what? I am not a person that is going to throw dirt on someone that's trying to get out from under a mud pile. I'll get in there with them and get slimy and dirty trying to pull them out. Amen? But what a testimony it is when a young person hears the Word of God week after week and listens to it and absorbs it, and then is slipped into an environment where people are contrary to what he's been taught from the Bible. And that person stands tall and says, I am not going to defile myself with the things that everybody else is defiling themselves with. I'd much rather one have the testimony of, I never delved into it, than I got into it and got out. I rejoice when someone gets out of it, but I rejoice even more greatly when someone never gets into it. Because there's scars that come from coming out of it. And I believe a person who's never got into the filth of the world has a much greater potential to be used in greater ways than one who's always trying to scrape off the mud the rest of his life. And amen is free. Certainly, true to his upbringing, and you know what? I think we're really lacking loyalty to how people have been raised, reared these days. You raise cows and crops, right? You rear people. And we're missing loyalty to how people have been reared. But not just how we've been reared culturally. That wasn't all about it with Daniel. It wasn't just a cultural thing. More importantly, it was how he had been brought up based on the Scripture. I heard about a young man this week that was in a service, and a preacher said something, and the young man said, "That's not quite really what the Bible says." And I thought, praise God, here's a young person that I know of that sat under the Word of God here and is listening to make sure that other people are true to the Word of God. I like that. How disappointing it is when young people abandon the scriptural truths they've been taught and live in outright sin. It's tragic. I run across young people that we've had in our Sunday school in days gone by, or in youth groups in days gone by, that seem to have no regard for biblical living whatsoever, and it breaks my heart. What a shame. Someone would have looked at my life and said the same thing, but for the grace of God, amen. Parents are often saddened because their children veer off away from fundamental Bible teaching that they received. And they get found, but not found faithful. Some go off to college, and some anti-God teacher discredits their training and enlightens them to lower education and base thinking and anti-God living. That's not enlightenment, amen. That's darkening their lives. Psalms 36:3 says, "The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good," describing people that veer away from the upbringing they've received in the Scripture. They leave off to be wise and to do good. But not Daniel. Amen? Not Daniel. Daniel was faithful to his upbringing, and what a testimony for young people to face the challenges of a godless society and remain faithful to the biblical truths they were taught. You've heard me often say, I want people to have the Bible as their reference point when they go from here, not what I said, but what the Bible says as their reference point. You want to spin around in confusion? Then have your reference point just be your public opinion or your own mind. But you want to walk in a steady pathway, have the Bible as your reference point. This month is dedicated to Black history in our country. In view of that, I've done some reading in relation to Blacks who have had an impact on our society. I want you to listen to the following admonition given by a well-known Black American. Quote, "I'm impelled to write you concerning the responsibilities laid upon you to live as Christians in the midst of an unchristian world. That is what I had to do. That is what every Christian has to do." You may or may not agree with everything that this man said or did, but I cannot argue with that statement at all. That is a statement made by the late Martin Luther King Jr. "I'm impelled to write you concerning the responsibilities laid upon you to live as Christians in the midst of an unchristian world. That's what I had to do. That's what every Christian has to do." Would to God that would be heralded today, amen? We need people to be faithful to our biblical Christian upbringing. The so-called contemporary movement, in my mind, is indeed a movement away from biblical upbringing. The anti-establishment philosophy of the Rock Revolution permeates and energizes the anti-biblical traditional message of the contemporary Christian movement. Dilutes it. I agree with Martin Luther King Jr. that we have the responsibility laid upon us to live as Christians in the midst of a Christian world, not to seek approval by an unchristian world and be like them. We need distinctiveness again. Daniel was faithful to his upbringing. Think about it. He's captive. He's commissioned to do a certain thing, to eat a certain thing, but he purposed in his heart, I am a captive. Many of my family's dead. My city's left burned and in ruins. I'm in a foreign land among foreign people, among people with customs and traditions contrary to the biblical teaching I receive. But I'm purposing in my heart that I am not going to defile myself. Faithful to his upbringing. Secondly, you see in the story of Daniel that he was faithful to his human authority. Faithful to his human authority. Daniel took his human delegated responsibilities very seriously. Sometimes people piously get the idea that they're living in some type of a different world where they only obey God and what men say has no bearing on them. But I've discovered in the Bible that if we're in submission to God, we will be in submission to proper human authority. Amen? That is a fact of Scripture. Daniel took his responsibilities given by human authority very seriously. Those who were seeking to destroy Daniel looked for everything they could find to show him unfaithful to his authority. I want you to notice again these words, the word occasion, as I mentioned, a matter of affair, the word fault, some means of corruption, something corrupt in him. The word faithful, he was found faithful, means that he confirmed what was right. He supported it, resulting in being trustworthy, one worthy to receive a discharge of responsibility, and he'd be faithful with it. Trustworthy. That's what faithful means there. And look at the word error. They sought to find some error with him. How many of you here got 100 on a math final exam in 10th or 11th or 12th grade? Got 100% on it. Kathy Miller, get out of here. No. Did you really? What was it? What class? Geometry. That's amazing. They had one question, what is your name? But no, not really. But that's amazing. What's that? No, but still, 100%, that's amazing. My brother got 100 on either algebra or geometry regents exam in upstate New York. So one person out of us got, there's always some error I do in division or something, some error. But notice here, and by the way, Kathy, you get the prize today. An error, anything, the word means anything amiss in the form of neglect. Have any of you ever got a notice that you didn't pay your bill? And you thought, oh my goodness. That ever happened? Or you got the notice, you said, I knew that. They went through Daniel's record and they found him to be meticulous on everything. No error. And then the word fault again used, or no fault, nothing corrupt. He didn't twist it, shade it. He was straightforward Daniel. He was faithful because of what was found. He did everything right under the authority of the human leadership that had been put over him, by the way, not desired human leadership, under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, conqueror of many countries, including Judah, destroyer of Jerusalem. They found no fault, no error, nothing amiss. Faithful. Daniel did his job. He did it well. He did it faithfully. He did it thoroughly. And he did it accurately. Isn't that the way that a Christian ought to approach his duties? I believe that Christians here at Berrien County Baptist Church in their workplace should be those who are elevated just a little bit above the rest by seeking to do it right in harmony with their authorities. Where did Daniel get that idea? Well, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." His upbringing taught him to be right toward and faithful to human authority even in his life, in this case, to the Babylonian Empire. His amazing faithfulness to his common duties was unparalleled. Another famous black American concerning whom I read this past week is quoted as saying this: "When you do the common things of life in an uncommon way, you will command the attention of the world." That was certainly true of the man to whom this quote is attributed. Born as a slave in 1861, and freed to become an amazing botanist, freed because of the Emancipation Proclamation, growing up in the home of his previous slave owner, he became an amazing botanist. His name was George Washington Carver. Slave owner's last name was Carver. They often took on their last name. And George Washington Carver devised over 100 uses of the peanut as well as 300 products from the peanut. Hope you're not allergic. And taught at the Tuskegee Institute until his death. And he said, when you do, and he said some, look him up. He said some amazing quotes. I've got them on my phone. They're awesome. Concerning God, concerning life in general, but this grabbed me in view of what we're talking about. When you do the common things of life in an uncommon way, you'll command the attention of the world. People want to aspire to greatness. Greatness doesn't come by being great in the great things. Great things come from being great in the little things. Dr. Hiles said, greatness is not in the performance, it's in the preparation. Being prepared. Daniel became a great man. The king made him a great man. Not because the king said, oh, I'd like to make him great. Because he saw greatness in Daniel, and the greatness was in the fact that he did the common things uncommonly. Out of conscience for God, out of faithfulness to his upbringing, with a scriptural background. Daniel had what I would call no fault faithfulness. His faithfulness was to the extent that he didn't want to leave any fault that could be uncovered. What a way to approach a day, amen? Faithful to his upbringing, faithful to his human authority, even though, in essence, his authority was an enemy to his upbringing. Thirdly, Daniel was faithful to his supreme authority. The only way Daniel's enemies, it's interesting here, could attribute fault to him was to cause him to violate human authority out of faithfulness to Daniel's devotion to divine authority. Look at that verse, if you would, again, verse 5. Then said these men, okay, they searched high and low, went through all the records. There just wasn't anything there. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We're going to find something that he does because of respect for the law of his God, his supreme authority, that contrasts our kingdom, and we're going to get him there. It was obvious that Daniel's faithfulness was rooted in allegiance to God Almighty. I would rather have people under my influence grow up to say, I'm going to be true in my allegiance to God and His Word, than to say, I'm going to be true in my allegiance to Pastor Jim Whitman. Because if they're true in allegiance to God and His Word, and Pastor Jim Whitman is true in his allegiance to God's Word, they'll be in harmony together. Daniel's faithfulness was rooted in allegiance to God Almighty. Daniel's faithfulness to follow biblical upbringing and fulfill human responsibility to authority was a reflection of his faithfulness simply to God. To God. To God. His human authorities recognized Daniel's allegiance surpassed their authority. You remember we read in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself the portion of the king's meat but the wine which he drank. Therefore he questioned the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at verse 9, chapter 1. Verse 9 that follows that verse. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Isn't that something? Daniel's faithfulness to his upbringing and faithfulness to human authority and faithfulness to God allowed God to bring him into favor with the human authority that when Daniel requested of him not to have to eat the king's garbage, he was given permission to do what coincided with his conviction. You know, if you miss work all the time, or if you miss church all the time, and your people at work know it, and then they want you to work on a Sunday, and you say, no, I go to church. They say, wait a minute, you don't go to church half the time anyway. You're out fishing. But Daniel's faithfulness to God, faithfulness to his upbringing, faithfulness to his human authority, brought him in tender favor with his human authority so that he was granted permission to do what he in conscience felt he had to do. I think that's amazing. Sometimes we approach it wrong. Bless God, I'm not going to. How about Daniel requesting, listen, I go to church every Sunday. I really need to be in church. I'll work my best. I'll work overtime, but I really need to be in the house of God. Do you mind if I do that? That goes a long way. When I was in the Army, when I got saved, I my sergeant knew me before I got saved, and he knew me after I got saved. And we went out to the, we never went to the field in the Army. I was in the 16th Signal Battalion. They called it the Sham Battalion for a while because we didn't have to do much. After I got saved, wouldn't you know it, our unit all of a sudden had to start going out to the field a lot. And I thought it was a curse. It ended up being a blessing because I got to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. But when we were out to the field, I'd become the music leader at that church in Killeen, in the Army, going to church there. And they were having a little Bible conference in the daytime. And the pastor, Brother Hall, said to me, Brother Jim, could you possibly come in and lead singing? And we were out in the field, 15 miles from Garrison. And I went to my Sergeant Scott. And I said, Sergeant Scott, would it be possible for me to go in the mornings and lead the songs at my church and then come back out to the field? I was working the graveyard shift. Do you know what he did? He said, yes, take the company Jeep, go back into Garrison, go home, take a shower, go to the service, and then come back with the Jeep
Amen. And that was fun, chasing those armadillos and stuff out in the field. But anyway, no, but not really. No, I never did that. Those what do they call them? Salamanders or whatever, they're about this tall and they run so fast, they're fun to watch take off. Anyway, not salamanders, bigger than that. Brother Randy likes salamanders. We won't talk about that one. Lizards, I guess they call them. I don't know. They're about this big. They weren't iguanas, but they were funny to watch run. Point. Back to the point. I didn't go to Sergeant Scott and say, listen, I got saved. I'm trying to live for God, and you need to let me do this. I went to him and said, would it be possible? Would you allow me to? And he said, take the Jeep. Amen? And when I read that passage, I often think about that. When we're faithful to what we've been taught in the Bible, faithful to the human authority around us because of the Bible, faithful to the God of the Bible, God works things out for us. I want you to notice Daniel chapter number 2 quickly. I'll rush through these real quick here. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Daniel was faithful to his supreme authority, to his human authorities, to his upbringing based on Scripture, and the king listened to him when he spoke of an authority higher than the king. Look at verse 47. Same chapter, chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. The king saw that Daniel was faithful to the supreme authority and honored that. First chapter 4 and verse 24, would you look there quickly? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the king. Verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. We can't get into the story, but just momentarily, Daniel told him that God had said that he was going to become like a wild animal and grow claws like an eagle and long hair and eat wild, like a wild oxen off the ground. How'd you like to tell that to the king of Babylon? But Daniel was faithful to his supreme authority. And then the king went through this time when he was cast away from people. They thought he had gone nuts. And he comes back to his reality, realizing that God is over the affairs of men. And he extols the king of heaven, because Daniel was faithful to the supreme authority, while being faithful to his human authority, while being faithful to his upbringing based on Scripture. And then to King Belshazzar in chapter 5 and verse 26. This is the interpretation of the king. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Chapter 5, verse 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Verse 28, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Here, Daniel takes the word from his supreme authority and tells his human authority, your kingdom is done. The Babylonian Empire is over. The Medes and Persians are taking over the kingdom. And they did. He had the guts to stand up and speak what the supreme authority said,
even though it was in direct contrast to what that human authority would have wanted. That's what we need today, amen? To stand up and say, abortion is wrong, period, because our supreme authority says so. Not our Supreme Court, our supreme authority. And then in this chapter that we read this morning, in verse 10, would you look there with me? Chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He had been loyal to his upbringing, faithful. He'd been faithful to his human authority, but faithful to his divine, his supreme authority. And a rule is made to catch him, contrasting human authority by obeying supreme authority. But he prayed as he did before. He kept doing what his divine, supreme authority said to do. And then look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. His human authority saw him so faithful to his supreme authority. He said, your supreme authority is going to take care of you, even though your human authority has gone against you. When the only fault others can find is faithfulness to God over man, you and I have been found faithful. Faithfulness to God will elevate you over the ordinary. Faithfulness to God begins by embracing biblical upbringing and making it your own conviction. Faithfulness to God is demonstrated by our faithfulness with human responsibilities. Faithfulness to God is what labeled Daniel, in my estimation, as having no fault. Faithfulness. He was found faithful. Can you hear Pilate say of Jesus, I find no fault in him? Because the Bible says, he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus' faithfulness to impeccably obey the Father resulted in him being a perfect substitute for us who have come short. As people who have received Christ as Savior, can we be found faithful? Should be our driving force, amen? To be found with no fault, faithfulness. Don't just say, we all blow it. Try not to. Amen? Try not to. Honor your upbringing. Be faithful. Be faithful to human authority because you're faithful to supreme authority. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father,